Hello and welcome to Sangam Lit. This is Nandini Karki, and in this episode we relish the sensuous details of life in the mountains as portrayed in Sangam literary work Natrine 168, written by an anonymous poet. Set in the lush hill country of Kurunji, the verse speaks in the voice of the confidant to the man, chiding him subtly for not seeking a formal union with the lady. சுரும்பு உணவிரிந்த கருங்கால் வேங்கை பெருஞ்சினை தொடுத்த கொழுங்கன் இறால் புல்லுற்று கசிந்த தீந்தேன் கல் அலை குறக்குறுமாக்கல் உண்ட மிச்சிலை புன்தலை மந்தி வண்பரல் நக்கும் நன்மலை நாட பண்பு எனப்படுமோ நீ நயந்து உறைவி இன் உயிர் உள்ளாய் அணங்குடை அறவின் ஆர் இருள் நடுநாள் மைபடு சிறுநெறி எஃகு துணையாக ஆரம் கமழும் மார்பினை சாரச் சிறுகுடி இங்கு நீ வரலே. As the poem opens, we hear a familiar buzzing sound as we glimpse at the word surumbu, meaning bees. Virinda vengai splashes into our eyes, the yellow of kino flowers in full bloom. The phrase kolungan iral intrigues as the meaning of the parts takes us elsewhere, for kan means eyes and iral, shrimp. But what is a shrimp doing high up in the hills? Just goes to show that the sum of parts can never reach up to the whole. In this context, the iral refers to a honeycomb and kan to its many perforations. Teasing our tongues appears thimdein or sweet honey. As we step further into the verse, we see the phrase eggu thunai, meaning the company of a spear, making our palms feel the touch of that firm metal spear. Not forgetting our sense of smell, aram kamalum fills our nostrils with the fragrance of sandalwood. All we have snatched away are mere glimpses, and yet already the poem has whisked us away on the many paths to a sensory heaven. Returning to earth, we learn that the man and lady have been in a loved relationship for a while, and the man has been trysting with the lady by night. One night, when he arrives to meet with the lady, the confidant says to him, "For bees to feed on, bloom the flowers of the black-trunked vengai tree. On its long branches hangs a many-holed rich honeycomb. As bees crowd around it, sweet honey drips and drops into a stone pit beneath. Children of the mountain folk reach out for this honey and relish it. What's left over is then licked by the strong little one of a soft-headed female monkey. O Lord, you come from such a land filled with fine mountains. You don't seem to think about the danger you're inflicting on the life of this girl who lives in the love she has for you. Minding not terrifying snakes in the pitch darkness of midnight, you walk on that confusing narrow path, your chest fragrant with the smell of sandalwood, with only a spear for company. Would it be called an act of upright character to come by like this to our little village on the mountain slope?" With these words, the confidant refuses to allow the man to tryst with the lady and subtly brings out the dangers within and without in not seeking the lady's hand in marriage. Now to delve deeper beyond words to the hidden meaning. Right at the beginning, the confidant makes a philosophical observation. She doesn't say, in a matter-of-fact way, the kino flowers have bloomed. Instead, she stresses that those flowers have bloomed so that the bees will feed on them. And with those terse words, the purpose of a flower is captured. The flower doesn't bloom to make the tree look good or to flood our senses with fragrance. It blooms to further life, and that is possible when those bees feed on it. This is an imperceptible shade of abstraction in this otherwise real scene, filled to the full with tangible details. There are the bloomed flowers of the vengai tree and bees rushing around it. The fruit of those bees' endeavors hangs on the long branches of the same tree in the form of a honeycomb. The bees then moving in and out of this honeycomb nudge it a little and make sweet honey drip down. Imagine being down there and putting your tongue out to taste that pure honey as it drops beneath. I'm sure this thought would have woken up the child in you. If you happen to look around, you will have company, for the little folks of the mountain country are gathering this honey that has dropped on the stone pit below. After they leave, the young one of a female monkey enters the scene. It comes by and licks what's left over of that delicious honey. This exquisite scene from the mountain country, the confidant says, has been narrated only to describe the picturesque land of the Lord. But she can't kid us thus, for we know a metaphor must lurk within. Interpretations are many for the sweet scene. The one that appeals to my eyes is the symbolism of the bees around the honeycomb as the kith and kin of the lady who will mount a guard for her if the man's relationship is found out. The children pointing to the man who relishes the lady's company surrounded by such danger. And finally, the monkey, a symbol of the disease of pining that attacks the lady when the man is away. After talking about the perils around the lady in this hidden manner, the confidant turns to the real dangers in the man's path. Pitch dark night, terrifying snakes, and confusing narrow paths. She asks him whether it is right on his part to make the lady who has immense love for him suffer thus. She tells that he comes by with a strong scent of sandalwood streaked on his chest with just a spear keeping him company. This is to say that no matter how furtive he is, the scent of sandalwood is bound to let out the secret amidst the lady's kith and kin. The confidant also advises the man to not find support in a mere spear, but to seek that of the elders and thereby live a happy married life with the lady. With these sensual references, the confidant subtly shows the man the way to relish those drops of honey with freedom forever. Thanks for listening to this episode of Sangam Lit and journeying with me to ancient lands and minds. Please rate and review Sangam Lit on your favorite podcast app and do visit nandinikarki.com to share your thoughts. Until next time, Nandri Vanakkam.